I scraped myself off the pickup bed and checked out all my various bodily parts for damage. I found plenty of it, but lucky for me, it was of the non-permanent variety. After walking around and limbering up my equipment, I figured I had better make my way to the combat zone. If Buster and his hoodlum friends found Wallace before I did, my pal Junior the Buzzard was likely to get orphaned for Christmas. I dived off the pickup and began sniffing the snow. The trail led off to the north, towards the big white grain elevator that rose above the railroad tracks at the north end of town. I locked in on the scent, put my smellatory transponders on automatic, and went zooming up the street. While zooming up the street, I began to notice the crowd of people who had gathered on the sidewalks on both sides. Some of them were pointing at me, others laughing and clapping their hands. It seems that I had attracted a crowd. I mean, people had come from miles around and lined both sides of Main Street to see me do my stuff. Pretty impressive, huh? It took double the usual amount of concentration for me to concentrate on my business. I mean, no matter how many times you perform before an adoring crowd, it's hard to resist, well, prancing, showing off, throwing in a few extra tricks, performing the little flourishes that are sure to bring squeals of delight from the ladies, and so forth. A guy gets to watching the crowd, see, and especially the ladies, and you know, Twitchell had more than its fair share of fine-looking lady dogs, and my concentration slipped just a tad, and before I knew it, I found myself surrounded by Buster and his gang. I glanced around and took a quick reading of my position. It appeared that I had reached the north end of Main Street, in the very middle of a large crowd of people. Nearby was what was that thing? A sleigh with wheels under it instead of runners, pulled by a paint horse. And sitting on the sleigh was a very suspicious-looking man with a long white beard and wearing a red and white suit. Little Alfred was standing beside the sleigh, and a big crowd of people were gathered around him. And hunkered down underneath the sleigh was Wallace the Buzzard. And right beside him, shivering in the snow, was Drover. The pieces of the puzzle were beginning to fall into place. This crowd had gathered to cheer me on as I fought against tremendous odds to defend a helpless, wounded, partially crazy old buzzard against tremendous odds and a pack of town dogs. The one piece of the puzzle that didn't fall into place was, who was this strange guy in the beard and red suit? I didn't know, but it didn't much matter anyway. My work was cut out for me. These people had come to watch me do my stuff, and by George, I was ready to give them their money's worth. I turned to Buster. And so, Buster, it seems that we meet again.
Yeah, so it seems. Where's my turkey dinner, smart guy, and get right to the point?
I was about to give him a witty, really devastating reply when Muggs blundered into the conversation.
Hey, boss. The turkey's under that thing over there with the horse.
Buster narrowed his eyes, looked towards the sleigh or whatever it was, and a wicked grin spread across his mouth.
You're right, Muggs. Okay, boys, this is it. We've got our bird cornered. Spread out and...
Hold it right there. Halt, stop. The first dog that moves will have to answer to me. Buster snorted at that.
Answer to you. Ha! Out of the way, cowdog, before I have to sweep the street with your carcass. Get the turkey, boys.
They made a rush for the sleigh. By running backwards at full speed, pretty nifty trick right there, I was able to stay in front of them and cut off their attack. And when we reached the sleigh at the same moment, I established a do-or-die position of defense and launched myself into the middle of them. Pretty risky, huh? Sure it was, but hey, that's what my fans had come to see, right? Maybe I wouldn't have done that without the support of hundreds of supporters, but, well, several things happened right away. me and Buster met head-on in a fight to the bitter end. We slashed and clawed and snarled, climbed each other until we couldn't climb anymore, came back down, and went rolling through the snow. Behind me, I could hear Drover cheering me on.
Get him, Hanky, get him! Knock his eye out, punch him in the nose!
As I say, we went rolling through the snow, right between the legs of the horse. A lot of horses will spook when a dogfight breaks out between their legs, don't you see? And this horse was one of those. He spooked. The next thing that happened was that Muggs got after Wallace, who came squawking and flapping out from under the sleigh. Right behind him came Muggs, barking and snapping. Behind Muggs came little Alfred, shouting,
"Weave that buzzard a wound, you naughty dog."
And behind little Alfred came three or four men from the crowd, shouting and waving their arms. They ran right in front of the horse, who had already begun to snort and pitch. And fellers, when he saw that buzzard flapping through the snow, he made a real serious attempt to kick us dogs into the next county and haul that sleigh down to the Gulf of Mexico. Above it all, I could hear the guy in the white beard yelling,
"Whoa, Flower! Easy, boy!"
Things were looking pretty grim, seemed to me, when all at once, who should come running out of the crowd but Slim. He went to the horse's head, threw his right elbow over the pony's neck, and grabbed an ear in each hand. The horse was rearing up so hard that he lifted old Slim off the ground several times. But Slim held on and shouted,
"Somebody grab that buzzard before he gets us all killed."
The three grown men took after Wallace, chased him around in circles while the crowd pushed forward, laughing and cheering them on. At last, they got Wallace captured, just about the time that Slim had talked Flower out of leaving the country. A cheer went up from the crowd. It was hard to tell if they were cheering for Slim, the guys who had collared Wallace, or me. I guess we had all made our little contributions, although mine wasn't so little. So there you are. They were cheering for me. Two men stepped forward and shook Slim's hand and thanked him for saving, oh, Santa Claus. So that's who that guy. They were trying to have a parade for this guy, Santa Claus, see? And, okay, you thought his name was Santa Claus. Nope, Santa Claus. At any rate, one of the men said,
"What should we do with this buzzard? He can't fly, and we don't have any idea how he got here in town."
It seemed to me that Slim's face turned a deep shade of red, and he said,
"Well, we're fixing to head back to the ranch. I guess I could haul him out to the country and turn him loose."
Little Alfred was standing beside Slim and started to say something, but he never got past the second word because all at once he had Slim's big gloved hand over his mouth.
"Would you mind? That sure would be nice, and then maybe we can get this dadgum parade started."
The crowd cheered. Several men slapped old Slim on the back, and they gave him the buzzard. Even Santa Claus himself stepped down and shook Slim's hand. I still didn't like the looks of that Santa Claus guy, and as he passed, I bristled up and growled at him. You know what he said?
"Buzz off, Pooch, or I'll give you a Tony Lama sandwich."
Seemed kind of unfriendly to me. Well, Slim called us dogs and little Alfred and pushed his way through the crowd towards the pickup. As I was leaving, I happened to pass Buster. He'd been kicked and stepped on by the horse and had gotten several good scoldings from people in the crowd. As I passed him, I gave him a smirk and said, "Let this be a lesson to you, Buster. Chinners never win, and cheaters never weep."
"Oh, yeah? Well, so's your old man, and we'll meet again, pal. And if you ever set foot in this town again..."
At that moment, Santa Claus stepped on Buster's tail and booted him out of the way. That was good enough for me. We marched to our pickup and headed back to the country.